Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can get your hey man in there. Hey man. I said hey man. Oh, you, right gotta, on, you guys got to pick it up. Hey man.
Hey man.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, so we're out here having a good time, man. Notre Dame, the Dogs tomorrow night. We'll talk plenty more about that. Braves have a chance to clinch the division. But our Falcons guys are in action on Sunday against Indianapolis, and we're going to get into our Falcon Report as we do each and every day, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, perfect weekend for a pizza party, large three-topping pizza from Domino's, $7.99 when you carry out. By the way, you don't just get one. Get as many as you like. You know what? Treat the whole cul-de-sac to a pizza party. Get all the details when you carry out at Domino's.com.
If you're just joining us, more on the Antonio Brown saga. As Antonio Brown gets cut by the Patriots literally about an hour ago, Mike and I have been chopping it up, talking about it. And I do want to point this out, and then we'll talk some Falcons, Mike, and we'll let you hear from our quarterback, Matt Ryan, because it is the Matt Ryan Report with our own Dave Archer. Field Yates puts this out here. And, you know, for everybody who thinks it's just about money and winning, Antonio Brown will not wind up receiving his $9 million signing bonus. The first $5 million, according to Field Yates, was due to be paid Monday. He will go from a $30 million guaranteed contract in March with the Raiders to $9 million guaranteed to Mike. He's only making $158,000 for 2019.
And just, again, if you have read the Sports Illustrated article, which kind of outlines all of the issues he's had the last couple of years, even to Carl, as we said a few times, if a third of it is true, if a half of it is true, whatever it is, now everybody comes out of the woodwork, and truth be told, in legal fees alone, I mean, people are going to swarm on AB. We talked a lot about it. We always advocate for the athlete. We try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt on this show, whether it's an owner, an athlete, or whatever. But it's hard to rally behind AB. And now I'd be curious, the general consensus here, just talking to a lot of our guys, a lot of our producers are still here from earlier in the day, is the only team that would kick the tires on him, barring the commissioner's exempt list, which would preclude any team from touching him, would be the Bengals.
That's right.
Because they're so cheap, and they always try to get guys who have some issues for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, listen, Drew Rosenhaus works miracles. I don't know how he's pulling this one off. I don't know what team is taking the phone call right now on AB. You got other clients. That's great. More on that coming up. Let's talk about our Falcons because we want you to hear from our quarterback, Matt Ryan, and what he expects against Indianapolis. It's our Matt Ryan Report.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
Now let's talk live to our Atlanta Falcons quarterback. It's the Matt Ryan Report.
Brought to you by Royal Caribbean, a proud partner of our Atlanta Falcons.
Here's Dave Archer with Matt Ryan.
Matt, I know how much of a self-evaluator you are. As you look at the first two games, what is it you're working on yourself?
One, taking care of the football, I think, more so than anything. We've got to do a better job offensively. I got to do a better job personally of making sure that we're not giving away possessions, specifically in the red area. We've got two turnovers, two interceptions inside the 10-yard line, and that's enough for the season. So we've got to do a better job with that, make good decisions, but stay aggressive. And that's something we'll, you know, work hard on throughout the year, but we've done a great job this week.
I've heard you say that the run game's close, and it certainly looked like there were a couple of creases last week. There's no question about that. So what do you do to make sure that the guys don't get frustrated that they're not running the ball?
You got to keep telling them, you know, and keep showing them the clips of how close we are to things coming out the back end. It takes one run to crease, come out the backside and go for 50 or go for 60, and all of a sudden you got that, you know, you got that mojo. And so running the football is about confidence, it's about rhythm, particularly in this scheme. You know, it's about combination blocking and guys getting off onto the second level. I think the more experience we get with these guys playing together, the better we're going to do that.
Okay, this is an Indianapolis team that I think considers itself a playoff team. They were a playoff team a year ago. New quarterback, different scenario there. But their defense has got a lot of good players on it. A lot of people would know. Justin Houston on one side, Jabal Sheard on the other side. Darius Leonard was a rookie of the year last year. Tell me about their defense.
They're solid. You mentioned those three guys. Darius Leonard is a tackling machine. I mean, he makes plays all over the place. Defensive line, they do a nice job of rotating two units basically on that side of the ball, giving you a bunch of different fronts, a bunch of different looks, a lot of games, which means they're moving, you know, defensive line in and out and kind of wrapping them around to different spots of the defensive line. So we certainly got our work cut out for us, but I think more so than anything, they play hard, and it's going to be about us, you know, going up there and being the more physical team. If we can do that and out-hit them, that's going to bode well for us.
From the little bit I've looked at, they don't seem to be an overly blitz-happy team. Looks like they want to play some zone coverage. What does that do for you and all the patience you have to show?
Yeah, you have to stay patient. They're, you know, probably what you would categorize as a bend-don't-break defense. They keep a lot of things in front of them. They make you stay patient, and then they try and get you, you know, they just try and get you trying to do too much. And I think for us, it's about, you know, getting the football out of our hands in the pass game, making sure we're getting lots of completions, and forcing them to tackle our playmakers in space. We feel like we've got some of the best in the world, and we got to give them opportunities to run with the football in the passing game and in the run game.
Another indoor game for you guys on the road. This is their home opener. It's no new thing for you, but it is a deal where you have to deal with crowd noise.
Absolutely. You know, we've got to be on top of that. We got to make sure that we handle that well. I thought, you know, while we didn't play well up in Minnesota, I thought we handled the noise well. I thought we did a nice job with our cadence, and we created three offsides penalties for them. That's something that we're going to have to do. If you can do that on the road, if you can create offsides, stuff like that, you're operating at a high level, so we need to continue that.
Okay, man. Go have some fun.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
There he is, our quarterback, Matt Ryan, with Dave Archer. It is the Matt Ryan Report. Guys, you get it right here exclusively on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
Matt kind of laying out some things. Let's lay out some things that we're looking at as far as this matchup is concerned with the Colts.
Well, let's start with some of the things which I think a lot of Falcon fans, either on television or at Mercedes-Benz on Sunday night, Carl, were like, what the heck's up with the kicking game? Well, Matt Bosher's going to have the week off. He's got some soft tissue issue, and he's going to be out. So a guy they signed, is it Squid? Is it pronounced Weil? It's not Wiley, right? Weil is the guy
punter
we signed to the practice squad. He has been activated. He is actually going to be the punter. So Matt Bosher is out, and Weil is in.
Weil is a guy that hopefully will be able to flip the field. I saw some footage. I've not seen him kick in person, obviously, from the Falcons practice this week. But, Mike, he was booming some shots. And, you know, again, if you're unable, God forbid, to move the football and you got to flip the field, I just can't trust Bosher this week. So I love Bosher,
and
but I can't trust him.
We see Matt all the time in Midtown with his great wife, great family. But, yeah, man, just get right and then come back strong. But you've got it. You cannot be sacrificing yards, Carl. Eagles had tremendous starting position both on punts and on kickoffs because Matt Bryan's kind of a fish out of water. It's been forever since Matt was in that duty. So Matt Weil will punt, and Matt Bosher out with a groin injury. And that's how we're going to get it done indoors, remind you, in Indianapolis. Meanwhile, some other injuries for you with the Falcons. We talked about Kenyon Barner.
Yeah.
He's got a groin injury. Full participation, by the way, for Keanu Neal. Gono is still nursing that back injury. Stocker with a foot injury. Caleb McGarry, he did not participate. And Bosher, as we mentioned, is out. So do you think McGarry is going to play or not? Or are we going to see Sombrello?
I do think he'll play. How many snaps he gets, that's the question.
Remember, Dan Quinn on Monday said they were going to give him treatment and they were going to handle kind of with kid gloves. But as far as, you know, the injury report from D-Led about 2 hours ago, McGarry with a knee did not participate. But that does not mean he's not going to play.
Okay, couple of matchups. First things first, Darius Leonard is out, guys.
That's huge.
News.
That's huge.
Yeah, at the start of the show, he is their starting linebacker, their best defensive player. He led the league in tackles as a rookie last year. So Darius Leonard is now in concussion protocol. He got concussed last week, came back into the game. This week has been in the protocol. He will not play Sunday. So, in essence, they're without – think about this. Their best offensive player, Andrew Luck, who's retired, and now their best defensive player, who's concussed and out for the week. Does that mean the Falcons roll in there and win? No. But it gives you a much better shot, Mike, to create some mismatches with their linebackers, maybe putting guys in the slot. maybe using Ito and Free in some different situations. And I really just want to see us establish the run. Maybe Dirk Cutter's got other plans, but we'll see Sunday about coming out and throwing the football. But that's a big loss for them. And then the other thing, guys, just a couple of things as far as the Falcons and the Colts. Grady Jarrett's going up against one of the best linemen in the game. Quentin Nelson is a guy that was the 10th overall pick, was a top 10 pick, should I say. Went to the Pro Bowl, was named All-Pro as a rookie last year. That's for a majority of the game who he's going to be lined up against. Now, look, I love Grady. He's been unbelievable these first 2 weeks.
Right.
Game one, we lost. He shined in an L. Game two, the defense wreaked havoc, and he was terrific. I think he's off to a great start, but this is going to be a tough test for him. The other thing is the Falcons corners versus the Colts wide receivers. I brought this up earlier, Mike, talking about T.Y. Hilton and trying to find him. If you're the Colts and you're Frank Reich, don't you try to find Isaiah Oliver?
130 yards through two games. Okay, that's not great stats. Now, I don't know if that's a byproduct of their commitment to the run, because nobody has run the ball, save for two running backs, more than Marlon Mack. Now, he's jammed up, though. Calf injury.
Yes.
So what do you think? I mean, do you think we're going to be able to go after Brissett? Look, no one would be more happy to get that tattoo on his butt than me, but do you think we can really release the hounds? Dan Quinn does not want to blitz, Carl. He wants to get that pressure from the down linemen. Can we get the heat on these guys? Because Chris Ballard, the general manager, to your point, made the commitment to really upgrade their offensive line. It's one of the best O-lines in the NFL right now.
So with that, that's one of the things that they're going to rely on.
Or they can dump it off to Ebron, the tight ends. They got really good tight
ends,
too.
They do have good tight ends. They do. I mean, listen, they're not going to lay down and allow us to come in here and score 30, although I think we have the ability to do that.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, we have the balance you've been talking about. So are you looking for, what, 15, 18 carries for Free? He's not going to get more than 20. They're just not going to commit to that, because even when we went back and looked at the numbers from 2016, Free's arguably best season, he was in balance with Tevin Coleman. Shanahan was the guy that preached it, was able to actually execute it. But do you think you have to give him 20 touches?
Well, I just like to see him get – listen, I don't want the excuses. Here's the thing I've been saying. We'll get to halfway point in the season, and people will say, well, Free's only getting 11, 12 carries a game. It's just not enough, and that's why he's not been able to get going. And then we've seen this, Mike. A couple of seasons ago, when Free was on our show – what up, Free? He was disappointed that he wasn't getting enough carries and almost came out and said as much. I don't want that frustration to be there midway through the season if you can get him in a rhythm early. And so I just want to take the excuses out. You know what we're all wondering? It's kind of like the Matrix right now with Free. You're wondering if this is the real Devontae Freeman or if this is kind of not the real Devontae Freeman. Like, are you seeing a guy who's not explosive, or is it the offensive line? What's going on? You're wondering. We're 2 weeks in. I don't want to wonder. I want to know what we've got.
Honestly, brother, you and I both talked about this. You missed the show earlier in the week. I think it was Tuesday. We talked about how we lobbied for Free to get that contract
yes.
coming off the 15 and 16 year. I haven't got time to see if Free can do this or not. Who gets the ball and makes things happen? If it's Free, he gets to keep on touching the ball. If not, it's got to be Ito. Well, I mean, what do you remember from the game as far as the running game last week on Sunday night? You remember Ito Smith?
Yeah.
All I remember is Free is hitting the hole 2 yards, fall forward 2 yards. It's just not happening. I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to be proven wrong. I want to see Free do well. Free put the work in, he rehabbed, all that nonsense the fans never get to see behind the scenes. But right now, Ito Smith looks the better piece.
It is our Falcon Report, guys. Every day we do it. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys. Large three-topping pizzas, $7.99. Carry out, good every night of the week. If not tonight, maybe tomorrow, you hunker down, you watch the Dogs or everything else this weekend. United as well. Make it a pizza party with Domino's.
All right, coming up, we've got our strong arm story of the day. And obviously, if the Braves could clinch tonight with the magic number being 1, we'll talk about the playoffs, who we could face up against, but also this Antonio Brown story that is huge around the National Football League. I really believe that the league is happy, and this is not to say they were against Antonio Brown. I think he had every opportunity, Mike, to do what he needed to do. But the conversation sooner than later will go away from Antonio Brown.
And if you haven't heard how the whole thing kind of played out, it really is shame on Antonio Brown. You probably had an out, but you really kind of screwed yourself. And we'll explain how that went down. By the way, the Patriots statement, Carl, as you read earlier, the Patriots are releasing Antonio Brown. We appreciate the hard work of many people over the past 11 days, but we feel it's best to move in a different direction at this time. We don't appreciate his time. They appreciate the work of many people over the past 11 days.
11 days, man. And it seems like a lot longer than that, but it's been 11 days. So, you know, Antonio Brown, in essence, I put it out there, thanks to Field Yates. For the game he played, he basically got paid $158,000. he is not going to see all of his $9 million signing bonus. $5 million was due on Monday. I mentioned this. This is another reason. The timing of this, I don't think is a coincidence, Mike. The timing of it and the Patriots deciding to do this before that $5 million was guaranteed.
Right. I mean, it's no-brainer.
Nope.
By the way, are we going to see Antonio Brown do another backyard video with his shirt off going free at last?
Not this time. By the way, Bo just told me his agent
put out
a statement, yeah, that he is in shape, he's healthy, and he's looking forward to his next opportunity.
Carl and I handicapped, if you missed the conversation earlier, the only team we can even foresee kicking the tires,
Mike,
on AB is the Bengals.
Nobody's going to sign him. I'm going to tell you why. This gives the NFL time to investigate this off-the-field stuff. No team's going to touch him.
So
he may be back in the league next
year. You think the next step is going to be commissioner's exempt list?
Well, there's no reason for any team to put themselves at risk now.
Right.
They sign him. They don't know what's going to happen. This gives the NFL a chance to investigate, and I just think that nobody's going to roll the dice. I think this year is on chill for Antonio Brown.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, we're live here. Having a great time, by the way. Make some noise, people, here at the Grindhouse. Come on, people. There we go.
They're occupied, Mike. They're enjoying Hey Man L.
I think you guys are drinking too much. We're going to straighten you people out. We'll come back. The Braves' magic number is?
1.
We're just taking a picture with David, so we're not talking as we come back from the break.
Hey,
thanks,
man.
Brother.
Thank
you
for coming
a loyal
out.
Listener.
Thank
and
you.
And your wife is hot.
Thank you. Hey, man, coming up, we've got Dave Archer coming up next hour. Top of the hour, the guy will call the game on CBS. Brad Nessler will join us here at Grindhouse, guys, so stay tuned for that. We got to get to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, man, let's talk about what's going on. First of all, with our Braves, magic number is 1 tonight. Mike, we could get it done. Faulty on the hill, and do we get it done?
Well, I mean, what faulty are we going to see? We really love the encouragement I think all Braves fans got from the last couple of outings. Seemed like faulty of the All-Star year last season, where he really looked dominant, not flaking out over the heat. Although temperatures tonight should be just perfect for faulty on the bump and SunTrust, based on what we're feeling out here in Athens. Acuna, Albies, Freddie, Donaldson, Markakis, Matt Joyce, Brian McKay behind the dish. Dansby's got to get it together, by the way. We talked a lot about Ronald Acuna. He finally, Carl, gets that milestone of 40. I think Snitker talked about it. We talked about it earlier. The pressure. And sometimes a milestone. I know it's a different kind of pressure, but remember when Jeter had that 3,000 hit coming
sure.
up? Sure. And he really struggled that year. Well, maybe Acuna just now explodes and is back in a rhythm. Agree, disagree?
I do agree, which would be great for our Braves, should I say, because going into the playoffs, if he gets hot, Mike, imagine a hot Acuna in the NLDS, and you're trying to decide whether you want to pitch to him or not. Okay, right. We're not. So you're going to put him on base?
And now Ozzie,
good luck.
And Ozzie is kind of, you know, you talk so much about who's the MVP of this team. Underrated, but so effective. Ozzie Albies, when that ball went off his glove the other day, that's so un-Ozzie-like. Normally he catches everything. But Ozzie at the dish, fantastic. And that's the guy, if you put on Acuna, put Acuna on the base, boom, he's going to burn you.
Hey, Craig, let's hear from Brian Snitker on Acuna joining Mel Ott and Eddie Matthews as the only players to hit 40 home runs before the age of 22, which is absolutely incredible. And then, you know, as far as our Braves clinching the NL East, with a loss tonight for the Nationals, we could also clinch. But let's win. That's always better. But here's Brian Snitker talking about Acuna in this milestone.
It's crazy with the year the kid's had. He's not a finished product yet. He's going to get better. Things still to work on, and with a talent like that, he stays grounded and headed in the right direction, and the sky's the limit.
So Mike Soroka was talking about how excited he'll be when the Braves do clinch, Mike, and that could be tonight. Popping bottles, guys putting goggles on. Don't get that in your eye. And, you know, having a good time. Here's the thing. You build up to this moment. I was talking about this earlier, being around teams in my history of covering baseball that are about to clinch or win a playoff series. And it's so exciting, man, because it's such a grind. And then you win, and it's like, ah! And then you got to reset because you got the playoffs coming. Here is our guy, Mike Soroka.
Yeah, definitely sweet. It's going to be nice. Having been down last year and being able to watch it, it's just going to make it that much sweeter being here this time. So that's all you can ask for, is to stay healthy and try and do your part to contribute to the team. And, you know, I'm very thankful that I got to do it with a bunch of great guys.
All right, Braves, let's get it done. By the way, Mike, do you have a preference? Nats, Brewers, Cardinals? Nets and Brewers are vying for the wild card.
We talked a lot about it. St. Louis is kind of the hot team right now, which nobody's talking about.
Yep.
We talked earlier with our Braves insider. And I tell you what, man, Joe Patrick said it, the same thing. They've got the pitching. Nothing really jumps off the page. Goldschmidt has really kind of added some pop to their lineup, although
true,
the average isn't there. But I just think the Braves, with their bullpen, that's the big concern. Is the bullpen going to hold up? And hopefully the starting pitcher doesn't make the bullpen a concern, because if you get to Martin, Green, and Melanson, will be okay. But I think this team can do it. I just think there's an X factor with this Braves team called a clutch vibe that I'm ready to play St. Louis, and then the Dodgers have to worry about, I think the Nats take out the Brewers with the pitching. Agree?
I do. I think the Nats have better pitching.
Cubby still have a shot, if you missed it. Rizzo came back. He had a foot injury. They didn't think he was going to play. He came out to the music of The Undertaker, by the way. Hit a home run in the third inning, but the Cubbies still lost to St. Louis 5-4. So I got to be honest. I think Braves St. Louis, we've not talked a lot about the Cardinals. That is a hot team, though, but I think the Braves are still better.
All right, story. Actually, it's part of our big story, guys, and it's you know, Braves, obviously, one game, magic number. The other big story that broke today, if you're just joining us here, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens, getting ready for Notre Dame and the Dogs tomorrow night. More on that coming up next hour. But, Mike, it's Antonio Brown being released. There's so many things that are out there. Here's the basics. The Patriots decided that this was much more of a headache right now than they wanted to take on, and so they decide 11 days in after signing him to release him. The other part of this is the financial part of it. The Patriots are not on the hook for a lot of money. And as Field Yates put out there, I retweeted it, put him up, see Dukes. Mike's at Mike Bell ATL. After one game, Brown's basically going to make $158,000. Now, that doesn't mean that he may not fight for more, but the contract language, and this is something we always talk about, it's all about how the contract language is written and those release dates and at what date is money guaranteed. So, you know, some guys are like, yeah, he still got $9 million. No, he didn't. $5 million was guaranteed Monday. And so the Patriots decide Friday that they had had enough. So he's not going to get that, guys. And, Mike, when you talk about the future opportunities for a guy like Antonio Brown, is he talented? Yes, we know that. But as I said, I just think the NFL now says, okay, this gives us an opportunity to investigate some of this stuff. And if I'm a team right now, I don't need this either.
Well, it's on record. And again, we are presuming that the NFL is going to speak with the latest. And by the way, if you're familiar with the SI article, this is a woman who did say that, there was untoward advances made in the home of Antonio Brown, where she was contracted to paint a mural. Whatever you think of Antonio Brown, common sense dictates, keep your mouth shut. Do not be talking, have any interaction with an alleged victim. Your lawyer would tell you that, right? But his ego is so big, the narcissism is just so over the top that he feels he's going to come down and drop a hammer on this girl. It makes no sense other than you just got to look at it and go, you know what? We can dance around the subject all we want. Antonio Brown is a dirtbag. Antonio Brown is a dirtbag. Warrick Dunn had a harder life. As hard a life as anyone out there. Antonio Brown, your father kicked you out of the house. I apologize. I wouldn't want to walk a mile in your footsteps. A guy like Warrick Dunn raises his brother and sister with his mom who got killed on the job. So, you know, Antonio Brown, some people elevate their lives. Some wallow in the crap and use it as a cop-out, and that's what you did. He's a dirtbag.
Well, the succession of things that have happened with Antonio Brown, you go back to July. He had the frostbite thing with his feet. You get to August, he missed Raiders training camp with the helmet grievances. You get to September.
Well, you call this general manager or something.
Well, you get to September, and the fines come, and he says, I don't need to pay these fines. Mike Mayock is a blankety blank. You get to September 7th, he's released from the Raiders. He posts on IG him running around the backyard acting like a fool. And then he signs with the Patriots on September 9th, and everybody goes, yeah, see, told you. And then the Patriots – former trainer, he's with the Patriots, and then a former trainer accuses him of sexual assault. You get the Sports Illustrated article that Mike's alluded to, a second incident involving sexual misconduct. And then Brown reportedly, September 20th, sends the text messages to try to bully one of his alleged victims. And then today he's released. Drama. That's what it is. Drama.
You know, the Patriots have become the new Raiders. You know, we always joke around. Steve Koonin talked about it. In the old days, all the bad guys wound up with the Raiders. Well, to be honest with you, the Patriots the last 15 years under Belichick have been the guys that would take people, whether it was a real issue or a perceived
issue
like a Randy Moss. Either way, they bring these guys on, Corey Dillon, and get the most out of them. But a guy like Bill Belichick, after five questions today, stormed out of the press conference. They don't want to deal with it. They cut bait on Antonio Brown.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're at Grindhouse. Brad Nessler's on the way. Dave Archer's on the way. Quick reminder, join 92.9 The Game for the fourth annual Tailgate Fest on Saturday, October 5th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Home Depot backyard. Also, guys, great activities. The entire family is welcome. It's open to the public, and it includes a tailgate and chili cook-off contest. Sign up your tailgate team now. You got grill game? Show me. I want to see it. On the events page at 92.9thegame.com, I'm going to be out there. And, yes, I'm a grill master. I want to taste your stuff. I want to see what you got. So go sign up on 92.9thegame, the events page. Hey, coming up, Mike Conti, in case you missed it.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Good news for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
We are live at Grindhouse. More and more folks coming in. Some Notre Dame people as well, Mike Bell. We are going to visit with our guy, Mike Conti, for In Case You Missed It. Coming up at 6, Brad Nessler from CBS is going to join us here at Grindhouse. He'll have the call tomorrow for the Dogs and Notre Dame game.
You know, it really is cool. We talked about this a couple times the last couple of months here in Atlanta. Remember when the Mexican team, Club America, came up from Mexico City for the Campeones Cup? And we had a fantastic vibe. You and I were at the tailgate, remember at the Gulch?
Yes.
And you had two disparate fan bases, everyone having a blast in the stands. It was fun, good-natured ball busting, but it was respectful. It was a great time. Hold on, timeout. What the hell is a Georgia Tech fan doing here? What? Who let this lady in here? Oh!
Wow!
Shame.
This crowd is vicious.
Shame.
They just booed a lovely woman.
I was just giving you a heartfelt example about sportsmanship, and we just booed a lady wearing a Georgia Tech shirt. But anyway, the point I'm getting to is Mike Conti's ready to join us in case you missed it, was we had a great vibe. It was two mature fan bases having a great time. Same thing with Notre Dame. Anybody who went to Chicago or South Bend had a blast. And they talked about the hospitality in South Bend. And the same thing now extended. That's been the message. They had a great dinner last night here in Athens. Both athletic directors involved. Very cool. Everyone from Notre Dame is having a blast. Because you know why? This is where you want to live. Athens is the best. You don't see women wearing sundresses in South Bend.
No,
going
you do
to
not.
A football game.
Not,
okay?
not for 8 months. Mike Conti, what is going on, man? Happy Friday to you. How are you doing today?
You know, the suburbs in South Bend, like Mishawaka and Michigan City, Indiana, like, they're quite nice. You've got a great lake nearby, Lake Michigan. I believe there's a national park nearby, a very lovely beach on Lake Michigan. South Bend isn't all that bad.
I've been up there. I'll take down south.
Yes.
I will say this.
You have to drive an hour through Ted Nugent country to find the casino up there.
South? What's up?
I'll say this. When I was in college, I went to a Notre Dame game. They were playing Oklahoma. This is when Bob Davey and Bob Stoops were coaching those respective teams. And I had very low expectations about going to South Bend because you think it's like a Midwestern Rust Belt city, and it is. But the weekend I spent on Notre Dame's campus was phenomenal. And I know a lot of Georgia fans have had that experience recently. But, you know, you go to the grotto, you see Touchdown Jesus. The architecture on campus is beautiful. It's a very historic stadium. So you're right. I hope that that Georgia fans will pay the same courtesy to Notre Dame fans tomorrow. I will say, though, Mike, there is one key difference between this game tomorrow and that Club America Atlanta United match. Because the Club America fans, many of them were Atlanta United fans, too. They lived in Atlanta,
True.
And Club America was kind of their primary team. But maybe below those yellow shirts, they were wearing striped shirts, too. So I think it's going to be a little bit different tomorrow because the Notre Dame fans that are going to be here aren't going to be cheering when Georgia scores touchdowns tomorrow. Just my opinion.
It is Mike Conti back at the ranch in Midtown with In Case You Missed It.
Okay, so this is the day. The day of the Area 51 storming. And
forgot about that.
Apparently, I mean, I don't know if there's been an incident yet or not, but according to a lot of people who are on the ground in Rachel, Nevada, and Hyco, Nevada, there are tens of thousands of people in town. We don't necessarily know what they're going to do or what's going to happen. No one has really run around in that ninja running style yet that they've talked about. You know, I guess that's the way that makes you invisible to bullets. But a lot of people on the ground are saying that there are visitors, many, many visitors from outside of town, outside of the state, outside of the country that are massing at the gates of Area 51. Now, remember, this all started as some kind of Facebook event where someone said, hey, you know, on September 20th and 21st, we should raid Area 51 and let's see what we can find inside. Area 51 being the extremely top secret military installation in the Nevada desert. One of the counties in which Area 51 sits is a very, very low-populated, destitute county. They have to cobble together $250,000 in emergency funds to come up with some kind of infrastructure where they have, like, porta-potties and electricity and running water in this, I guess, area where they are massing. And we'll see what happens tonight. I'm sure there will be no shortage of live streams and people tweeting about it. Not surprisingly, a lot of the people at the gates of Area 51, based on the photos I've seen this morning, not surprisingly, are in costume. I have to say I was not very surprised
dressed as
to
what,
see
what, aliens?
No.
What are they dressed as?
No, Carl. I don't really know what superheroes these are or what type of, like, ninja getup this is, but...
Mike.
I mean, you've been to DragonCon, right? You've been to DragonCon?
Yes.
Right,
Mike,
okay, this kind of looks like DragonCon in the desert.
Mike, remember remember in Independence Day when the alien ship is sitting over Los Angeles and all the stupid hippies go to the roof to greet the aliens?
Yes.
Those are the same people that are going to make that big, let's go crash the gates at Area 51. By the way, Air Force sergeants and those guys, those NCOs, they have instructed to shoot to kill.
Really?
Well, you can't get on there. Yeah, that's where all the secret stuff is.
Rubber bullets.
Well, I hope so. There's been no injuries.
They're not just going to open the gates to Area 51 and say, hey, the gift shop is over there. Like, you're right, Mike. They're going to keep it closed. Now, there was a scare in Nevada this week. Wednesday night, there were these mysterious flying objects seen over Las Vegas, and a lot of people freaked out, went on Twitter, thought there were UFOs in Las Vegas, and maybe this was some kind of prelude to the Area 51 raid that like the aliens were coming to meet the whatever you call the people who are going to raid Area 51 or say they will. It turns out the mysterious flying objects, though, were military parachuters who were dropping the game ball to a soccer match into Sam Boyd Stadium. And because it was twilight, their parachute canopies reflected a certain way. Caused a mass panic. It was nothing more than a military exercise.
Remember Project Blue Book, the Air Force's effort to debunk UFO sightings?
That's
by
right.
Conti? Everything was swamp gas and weather balloons.
Yeah. No. Well, now you did have this week. The Navy came out and said some of those videos of UFOs that have been published in recent weeks are in fact real and should not have gotten out. So you can choose to believe whatever you want to believe. By the way, if you're thinking about taking a last minute flight out to Las Vegas or Reno to Storm Area 51 for some reason, you'll be happy to know that there is a local purveyor of the world's oldest profession in that county, which it is legal there, that is offering discounts to ET enthusiasts, according to a sign that they put up in front of the house, if you will.
And for some of those nerds, it'll be their first time.
Yeah, listen, God bless these folks. I thought this was still going to be something that really didn't happen, I guess. And Bo just showed me some of the pictures, Conti, that you're talking about.
What'd I tell you?
Of these costumes and people dressed up. Holy moly. Clap alien cheeks. That's one sign that's out there. I mean, the signage, the costumes, it's unreal. I just hope nobody gets hurt, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
I have a feeling, Carl. I have a feeling really quick. The Area 51 Stormers have a lot of bark and very little bite. I don't anticipate they're going to get anywhere close to the game.
Hey, Conti, have a great call tomorrow, man. We will talk to you on Monday. Atlanta United, guys, tomorrow afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live in Athens where it's going down. Say that again. Athens. We're in Athens.
Hey,
yeah.
Man, here at the Grindhouse, having a great time, man. Killer Burgers. Big party tomorrow right here, guys. You're going to cut off the parking lot. Big shenanigans. Yes, thank you, sir. Hey, man, is on draft. Come on down, join the party. Jumping in next, if he's on schedule, if his Uber driver gets him here, it's Brad Nessler.
Yeah, Ness is going to call the game on CBS. And I got to tell you a story about Jane. That's Jane. I will tell you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.